Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Hit Chat Chit Chat. I am your host, Connor Reynolds, and not to my side, but a little bit above me today, we have JP Fischone. JP, how you doing, sir?
Good. Ready to get after it. We got a guest on the show. I'm excited.
Yes, sir. And introducing our guest today, we have Mr. Braden Thompson joining us today. Braden, how are you doing today?
I am good, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well, man. Thank you for asking. Braden, if you don't mind going through a little bit of an introduction about yourself to kind of get it kicked off and going, who are you?
Oh, man. I'm Braden Thompson. I'm from Arvada, Colorado. Self-proclaimed JUCO nobody. Dealt with some injuries the past few years. You know, that's where I'm at. Currently an intern with you, Connor. Kind of job shadowing, training with you as well during my gap year. I'm getting ready to transfer out and just get better. So, yeah, that's where I'm at.
Hell yeah, man. And so you said you're interning with me while also training with me. That is, yeah. That's spending a lot of time with me. How's that going?
You drive me nuts sometimes, but in a good way. We talk a lot of hitting. We argue about hitting. But I think at the end of the day, I think you and I both learn a lot from each other. Probably me more from you. But yeah, we have a lot of fun, man. Down at Fast, good culture down there. Oh, my dog's in here already, interrupting.
Ooh, we love the other ones.
We have a lot of fun.
Beautiful, man. And then you also just got done completing your Driveline Foundations of Hitting certification.
Yes, I did. And it was awesome.
How'd you like that?
It was great because it for me, it was like, you know, I've already researched a lot of things on my own. Just stuff I've talked about with you and just to finally like have it all put together and then have the data to back it, have the science to back, you know, the training concepts and just the biomechanics of the swing. That, I mean, for me, that was great. Like I need to see that stuff. And it's also helped me, I think, and just as I've been doing it, my training sessions with you, you probably noticed I come in and I'm like, hey, like I read about this. I think we need to work on this from what I see. And so it's been great for me with my swing and my hitting, but it's also been good because as you know, you and I are both in the cage coaching kids and I coach some kids on my own and it's been awesome for them. And they're like, whoa, like we've never worked on this before. I'm like, yeah, well, we're going to work on it now because I learned this from Driveline. So we're going to do it.
Let's go, baby. I love it. JP, you got any questions?
Yeah, I mean, I guess first, like Carter said, I mean, you guys argue about hitting sometimes. I mean, I'm interested to hear about kind of the arguments and this discussion that takes place between two great hitting minds.
I can think of one time right now. This is before Connor was at Fast Hirsch's facility, and we're up in Connor's barn at his house on Christmas break. And we're working on like holding the finish of our swing. And he's like, okay, now I want you to like have the bat stop to wherever you hit it. So if you hit this one to right field, I want your barrel to stop. And I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. And he's like, what are you like? You're not trying. I'm like, I am trying. He's like, no, you're not. Like, I'm like, does this even matter? And then it was on from there. It was like, oh, yes, it does matter. It was, you're like, okay, we got to figure this out. I think we argued for about a half an hour about, I mean, it was a heated argument about, you know, does it matter if I can hold my swing to where I hit the ball? I mean, it was that simple.
I wouldn't say I was getting mad at you right away for not trying. We were going through and we were doing bat pointers. And it was odd to me that when we're doing this, he kept finishing with his bat more pointed in the air rather than at like, you know, what would be like a lower, his vertical bat angle was extremely high where I was trying to like get it to point. And so I was like, hey, like, you know, why can't like, are you like not thinking of it or like, are you not able to do it? And he was like, I don't know. I was like, okay, well, can you try for me? And he's like, well, does this matter? And I was like, honestly, I have no idea. Like, I just want to, are you able to do it? And that's when it started getting heated because he was like, well, does it matter? I was like, I don't know. Like, if it does. And then he would give me like a half-ass one and be like, there, we're moving on. And I'm like, no, no, no. Like, hold on. Like, and so we were going back and forth and we left it with, you know, I don't know if it's important. And he was like, well, if I'm not able to do it and we don't know if it's not important, like, what's the point of, you know, having this discussion?
So then flash forward about 2 months later, I'm out at school. I'm hitting with Connor on FaceTime. And he goes, hold on. Let me clip this swing. I'm recording. He's like, let me go clip this out. And we get to a freeze frame. And my hands are literally point. I hit this ball right back. I finished. My hands are like pointing right back at. He's like, oh, so it does matter. I was like, oh, you son of a bitch.
Weird.
And then the best part. The best part for that was that I was scrolling through and I can't remember who posted it, but someone posted on Driveline's blog talking about being able to do that and how it's like extremely important. I forget like the full, like, you know, scientific reasoning, but that it was saying that essentially like it is important to be able to control that aspect. And so right when I started reading that, I just sent it to Braden right away. And I was like, hey, I guess it is important, my guy.
He'll never let me live that one down.
Nope.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Those are the kind of discussions that are fun, right? When the athlete kind of goes like, you're an idiot. You're like, maybe let's talk about it. Maybe. I don't know. That's awesome. Awesome. Well, how's it been so far? You've been there quite a while training and stuff, but how's it been kind of moving to the coaching side? What's kind of different? You noticed?
It has helped me. So one, I would say it's helped me a lot with my own swing. It's helped me a lot to teach kids stuff. And then as I'm teaching a kid something or cueing them to do something, I'm realizing, oh, shit. I think I need to do that in my swing. Like, why am I working on that? And I think I've actually seen a lot of growth because I am teaching people to do something. And I'm like, oh, yeah, maybe I need to do that. But it's also helped me with, you know, we're working with a wide range of kids, right? I mean, we work with little kids all the way up to, I mean, college kids. And I'm in there. There's a college kid older than me. And I'm in there. I'm like, why the hell is he going to listen to me? But it's like, especially with the younger kids, you got to be very external with them. I have a tendency. Well, hey, your attack angle's at like a 15 right now. Like, you know, your exit velo is here. Like, maybe we need to lower that. And they're like, what? I'm like, what is that? You know what? Just hit that target back there. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Okay. Yeah. 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 It is interesting. You know, that's, I don't know. The move from playing to coaching is always fascinated me because, like you said, like I think you grow in your understanding, and I think it gives you a better idea of like your swing tendencies and stuff like that. I think just teaching things is it's an easy way to just kind of heat check yourself of like, do I actually understand this or not?
Yeah, and I've found that where I'm like, no, I don't think I understand this concept as well. But after working with a kid with it, I'm like, you know what, I actually have a grasp on this, and then I go hit with Connor, right? Because I usually go in like real early and hit with them. Or if I don't have time, I'll hit like at the end of the day. And it's like, oh, okay. Like we worked on this with little Johnny. He's 10. Right. Like I'm 20. Like what the hell am I doing? Like I just taught him to do this and I'm not doing it. So.
Right. For sure. For sure. That's awesome.
Braden, for you, have you touched on it a little bit, but going from the player side to the coaching side, like what has been the biggest, I would say, aha moments that you have felt while going through your swing or something like that? Has there been like an exact moment where, like you said, you're telling a kid to do something, you're like, oh wait, like why don't I do that? Has there been like one exact moment that you can bring up where there was kind of just that like clicking aha moment where you're like, oh, I just need to do this or this or this?
Yeah, I think the big one is the guy I hit with on my own with my dad, Brady, that you know, Connor. He's a switch hitter, and he has a really – his left-handed swing is, like, light years better than his right-handed. But, you know, we're going to get there with the right-handed. But, you know, I'm not giving up on it yet. He has a really hard time. Once we started getting to move faster, he had a really hard time holding his posture, especially with, you know, his pelvic tilt. he really wanted his that early hip release, and he was losing all posture. And, you know, I'm sitting here fixing it, and we got him to a really good spot. And then that was when I was like, I went and watched video of my swing off the YouTube recording of like a couple of days before I hit with you, Connor. And I was like, oh, yeah, I'm doing the exact same thing. Like, we need to fix that. So then I hit with you on Sunday, right? And I think we got to a really good spot.
What have you noticed as being the acceleration of your learning as a player now that you are also teaching it? Like the strides that you've made so far, just from December to when we first started working, when you came back, once you were cleared, I mean, the swing's amazing changes. Amazing. Do you feel like you are now at a faster accelerating rate of understanding your swing because you are also teaching it?
I mean, maybe in reality I'm not, but in my mind, I feel like I definitely am. Just from what I see based on the data, just the raw data and the video itself. I mean, that's what it seems to me.
No, I feel that.
But
would you agree?
What would you say has been the biggest jump or knowledge kind of dump in your brain when going through the driveline foundations of hitting? Like, what has just been, has there been one particular spot where you felt like maybe you felt, you know, comfortable on that, and then all of a sudden you're going through and it's like a 15 page like PowerPoint and you're just like,
oh yeah,
grasping all, like, where has there been just a giant kind of advancement in your knowledge from that driveline foundations of hitting?
I think that the foundations of hitting does a great job of clearly showing, you know, the kinematic sequence of the swing. You know, this is how it should be done. And I think, you know, I'm on Twitter, I'm on Instagram, I will not mention who he is. It starts with teacher, you know. Just, you know, all the arguments on, you know, this is how the swing should look. You know, he's doing this. And you go to the foundations of hitting. It's like, oh, here's the KVES data. Here's all the freaking data in the world to back up. Here's what the best hitters in the world do. Boom. Black and white. And I was like, oh, yeah, that makes sense to me. You know, I just don't think there's, I really appreciate that. Yeah, that was the biggest thing for me, is really just the swing. And I also think I really enjoyed the blast motion one. I kind of had a grasp on the blast motion stuff, but going more in depth than that and really learning what they do and what they are, that was very helpful.
Kind of like we talked about in our podcast last week, of just like the data just makes it so much easier. I think it's harder to learn. Like that first hurdle is harder, but once you kind of get past the kind of basic understanding, I think it's so much easier just to have that automatic feedback. You're not having to guess of like what somebody's thinking about or like trying to find it in a video. It's just, it's there. It's very straightforward. There's not a lot of wiggle room when it comes
to stuff. No. Yeah. I really like that part, that there was no, it was just so black and white and you're not guessing, you know, everything has been proven.
Yeah. Sure.
Braden, do you have any questions now that we're kind of sitting here? You got JP, you know, driveline dude. Obviously, you've been able to kind of tap into my knowledge here, working with me and stuff like that. But do you have any questions, whether it's coming from the instructor side of you or, you know, your own player side? Do you have any questions on anything when you're looking through, whether it be, like I said, as a player, you know, what you're trying to grasp or gain out of the training session, or maybe you kind of hit like a roadblock when it comes to being an instructor with a player, or, you know, how to put a plan together or anything like that? Like, do you have any questions for JP or I when it comes to any of that?
Oh, man. Oh, you're putting me on the spot here.
Oh, yeah.
So if you, I mean, I have a thousand different things racing through my head. I wish you would have told me this. No, JP, but what does like a typical day for you look like at Driveline? Like what are you doing on a typical day as a hitting trainer?
It's a good question. Pretty seasonal dependent. Obviously like our busy times, it's a little bit different. You know, peak summer, kind of getting into the office like 8:00, 8:30. The big things like for me is just making sure like I have all my athletes in order. Making sure the programming style, all the tech works, you know, all the troubleshooting, things like that. And then we kind of roll into hitting groups if I'm working the floor that day. So setting up the cage for whatever environment we're hitting in. So like this summer, it was kind of setting up smash balls, making sure the hit tracks works. We got all the settings dialed there. And then kind of setting up the eye pitches, making sure that's all good. And then it's just kind of, you just kind of on the floor getting after it, with guys and kind of working through some things. And, honestly, like 90% of their job when you're kind of working with kids is just answering questions. Why is this happening? Why is that happening? What is this blast metric?
Yeah.
Stuff like that. So, and then outside of that, like, you know, after that, or if I'm not working the floor that day, it's kind of a lot of like housekeeping things, picking up tees, you know, fixing machines, normal stuff like that. And then the fun stuff is like, you know, sitting down and just kind of like, what is maintaining space? Like, what does that look like? What is posture? Like, and kind of getting in, you know, using our resources, whether it's biomechanics or, you know, our Savant database or, you know, our R&D guys, and just kind of like picking their brain and trying to come up with some new things there. So that's kind of like a normal day. But like today, like I didn't, you know, it's a little bit slower right now. We don't have many groups. So this morning I just kind of sat down and kind of looked at skeletons, as people like to say. Just kind of looked at biomechanics and trying to come up with some different things as we're continuing to kind of push research that direction. Which is always fun. So it kind of varies on the season, but a lot of it's just setting up. It's a lot of maintenance, a lot of cleaning, a lot of like athletes, things like that.
That's still cool though. I mean,
yeah, no, it's not,
you know.
Yeah, it's definitely a cool experience. I've talked about this before. I think the biggest thing is just like, they just give you everything. It's just like whatever you want to do, like whatever you want to look at, you need something. I like to tell the story of we were having trouble keeping track of athletes of like, hey, like this kid mocapped, you know, 6 weeks ago, he needs to retest. And it was kind of on the hitting trainers to kind of keep track of that. Obviously we're hitting trainers are dumb and we don't pay attention to stuff like that. So I just went over to one of our, I don't know, I call them computer nerds, but our R&D guys. And was just like, hey, this is a problem. It'd be really cool if we could like get an update, like a message in the morning. That's just like, hey, these dudes need to get scheduled for retests this week. And he was like, okay, let me see what I can put together. And he comes back like 2 hours later. He's like, hey, I wrote this code. It's ready to go. Like, it'll be there on Monday. And I was just like, what? Like, what? What do you mean? So stuff like that. It's just always fun to just have those resources because you just don't get
that. That's really cool. Places. That's really cool.
For sure.
Yeah, Connor and I are on a much smaller scale.
yeah. Most places are. This is kind of it's what makes working here special. It's just stupid smart people everywhere you look.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Well, speaking into that, that leads us into what would be our next part of the podcast. Might be a segment that we move forward. But to begin with, and the people are seeing it on their screen right now, boom, we're going to be going through and we're going to be doing a tier list of training equipment and the just focusing on the tech side for the day. And this is going to be purely either myself, Braden, or JP. So we'll have different colors to kind of show and identify. Actually, let me see. I wouldn't be able to do that. This would be able to show them with the three different colors who is picking what. We have a couple different categories for anyone that's not too sure of what the categories are. S is superior, and then F is going to be the failure, and then we have the grades below that. So we went through, and if we're missing any tech, sorry, let us know down in the comments below, but we'll go through and we'll kind of put these guys together. So first guy, like I said, we're going to go through, and I'll just write who has what. So we've got, let's go Connor for yellow. Let's go Bray. That's too dark. Brayden is blue. And then we'll go a light orange for JP. Boom. There we go. All right. So first one that we shall talk about. Let me pull this guy up. I think Blast Motion would be an incredible one for us to kind of start off with. Me personally, and we will be taking price points into consideration with this for your what you value. So if there's something that's super expensive, but you value it a lot, throw it on up there. If it's super expensive and, you know, it's not the biggest or, you know, most needed thing in the facility, we won't put it very high. For me personally, though, just starting off in the S tier, I have Blast Motion. I think Blast Motion is one of the best pieces of tools that a facility or a team or just an individual player can own, with the ability of it being, it's $150 for the sensor. Unless you talk to me, I can get it cheaper for you. Just let me know. And then also the subscription service. So ground total minus what it is just to get the sensor. I mean, it's like $35-$45 a year to be able to have Blast Motion that tracks every single swing. You're attentive every single swing. And the part that I like the most is it captures for you, whether you're hitting on a punching bag, off of the tee, whatever it is, like it will track. And that's the piece that I like the most about it. JP, where would you put Blast Motion?
I'd probably put it S tier too. I mean, you get all the points. It's fairly cheap compared to other technologies. It's pretty simple to use. I think the big hurdle is just, it's kind of like Brennan said, is just understanding the data and like what's valuable. But I was talking to a coach the other day about, cause he's got one blast sensor and he was like, I don't really know how to use it. I was like, you gotta put it in a cage, turn the iPad on and just like throw it on a random profile and just let it rip and let the kids use it. And you'll start to see like, okay, this number's better when it's lower. Like they hit better when this number is higher and you can start to kind of feel it out. And you add that with some research and kind of learning more about it, and you can pick it up pretty quick. So Blast Motion to me is just like one of those tools that I've started since I started using it 4 or 5 years ago. It's just, I can't imagine coaching without it. So
beauty. And then Mr. Brayden, from a player and an instructor perspective, if you want to choose one hat, go for it. But where do you have Blast Motion ranked in at?
Yeah, I'm gonna have to be up there with you, Connor, at the S.
Beauty.
For me, when I first bought Blast, you know, I knew, you know, every MLB, they, you know, they market every MLB team's using it. You know, it's like, okay, this is cool. You know, I got it. I didn't really know what any of it meant. It's like, well, this is bad. I'm like, oh, how do I get that better? I have no clue. And so I was like, well, I don't like seeing that I'm bad at this, so I threw it away for a while. You know, flash forward, I come and hit with you. I'm like, I don't know. And then I love it now just because of the objective feedback on every swing. You know, if we're looking to train bat speed, you know, if we're training kids for bat speed, if we're training a kid for their rotational acceleration, anything like that, you know, they just look at that TV behind them or they look at their phone, their iPad, and they're like, oh, okay, that one was good. That one was bad. Okay, do I need to change my intent here? Do I need to change the way my barrel enters the zone? Do I need to change how I'm, you know, what I'm firing first in my swing? I think that's the biggest piece that I like, is that for like a small kid, you're like, okay, we got to beat 70 miles an hour on the bat speed. right? They can just be like, oh, cool, it's on the TV. And then boom, they're 72. Like, it's just great feedback, I think.
And it's immediate. Cool. And then kind of to throw on top of what you said, JP, from an instructor's perspective, when working with a team and you only have one blast motion, I like the fact that I was able to set up my iPad and put on a tripod, turn on the recording. So that way I was able to go back after and look at, and I would pull up the blast motion spreadsheet. All right, swings 1 through 10 were done by, you know, Billy. All right, so I'm going to highlight those first 10 swings, look at all of their information. That's going to go under Billy's, you know, profile. Swings 11 through 20, that was Johnny. All right, that's going into Johnny's profile. And being able to go back and, you know, it will take time. So if you're an instructor that's looking to get the most out of it for the least amount of money, it does take time. It is one of those things where you will, you know, spend a couple hours just going back through. But in my opinion, it's totally worth it. If you're balling on a budget, very worth it. The best piece of technology. Also, my favorite customer service people in all of the tech world. Blast Motion for me has been, through all the other tech companies I've worked with over the last few years, Blast Motion's been the quickest to respond and then also the most user-friendly that I've been able to work with.
True.
All righty, moving on. Next one that we will put into this is Track. So for anyone that doesn't know, Track is the program that Driveline has put together. For me, when it comes to looking at Track, I'm honestly, and JP, this is not because you're on here, but I'm going to put in the S tier as well. For me, why I would put Track in the S tier, it's free for anybody that has less than 15 athletes. And so that for me is massive. It also comes preloaded with a lot of Driveline's programs. And so if you have no clue what in the world you are doing, you're still able to get information. There's videos with every single drill. There are templates for like 6-week programs, 1-day programs, all of that great stuff. Very user-friendly and again, really good with the customer service. Driveline does an amazing job. I believe his name's Jeremy, or at least it was when I first got my stuff set up about a year ago. He's the one that I've had the pleasure of working with in the past, and the dude's really good. So for me, I'm going to put Track up in the S tier. JP?
Yeah, I mean, a little bit biased, but I've been using Track for 4 years since I was at Lamar, and I think the biggest advantage for Track is how easy it is to kind of go through all that data. So when we're talking about technologies and stuff, it's just all in one place, and the reports that you can generate are really helpful for kind of sifting through the data and figuring out like what is valuable, what is a good number for your attack angle, what's a good number for all this other stuff. So I think I would put it at S tier, but it's just, if you have technology and you don't want to spend just hours sifting through data and like figuring out what works, or just like making your own spreadsheets and stuff like that, it's night and day. It's just so easy to do that stuff. And there's so many other features that you can get into that makes coaching just take less time, which is kind of what we all want. It's just less time at a computer and more time in the cage.
Braden, from a player perspective, how do you like Track and where would you put it?
So I definitely agree with all the instructor standpoints on it. For me personally, I hate having my phone in the cage with me, seeing my day plan. Like I cannot do it. I'm a pen and paper guy through and through. Connor will tell you, I bring my little notebook in the cage, you know, and I'm writing down. I mean, I take a ton of notes and I'm writing things down. Now, for some guys, they might like that. Okay, yeah, I'm on my phone. I can see my day plan. Here's what I completed. You know, here's how many reps I did of it. For me, that's something that I go in after I'm done hitting for the day and look at. And then I like that I can go back and, you know, and look what I did do and then transfer that to paper. So I don't think it's the use of Track is widespread enough. This is really my first time ever using it. I haven't been at a school. None of the teams I played for, the school I played at, would never use it. And I think it could have been something that would have been incredibly beneficial instead of, you know, everyone just go to the cage and just take some hacks when, you know, coaches could have been programming out certain things for kids every day and there's a set plan. And I love the organizational piece of it and the accountability.
So where would you throw that then with as a player? You going S tier or are we going the A right below S tier?
For me personally, it sits in between just because I don't like having it, my phone in the cage with me. Now, I think if it's not me, yeah, it goes into the S.
Hey, this is all on you, baby. This is your personal feel. This is your tier list.
Hey, I'm trying to get all viewpoints here.
Oh, I threw it in the A for you.
All right.
There we go. All right, next one is going to be Pocket Radar. Pocket Radar. So for me, I'm going to put this guy, I'm going to throw it in the, I would say it's an A just on the sole fact of it's on the cheaper side for guys. It's not going to give you the full picture when it comes to exit velocity and stuff like that, hitting off the tee, just in case you start to hit it not where the radar is pointed and stuff like that. But whether you're at a facility and you just need to be able to do it, they have the cheaper version where it's just the radar. And they also have the coach's version where you're able to connect it to an app. It's called the Smart Coach. And then you can just set up the pocket radar on a tripod. You set up your phone and it will record and automatically cut up different videos with the pocket radar overlay in there saying how, you know, the velo of everything. So, like I said, it's a little bit cheaper. So I'm going to throw pocket radar in the A tier for me personally. Like I said, I think it's a really good product and on the cheaper side for guys as well. JP, what do you think?
Yeah, I'll probably put it like B, C tier. I'll put it in the B tier because it's cheap. And I think for the hitting side, it's like you said, it's going to be the cheapest exit velocity measuring tool out there. And I think if you don't have anything else, it'll get the job done, at least well enough to kind of keep track of where your guys are at. So it's easy to use. It's cheap. So we'll put it just above average at B.
Nice. Braden, what do you think?
I think I'm going to have to throw it at B. Yeah, just because it is very accessible for guys. You know, not everyone can afford a Hit Tracks or even a Rapsodo. And as you know, the blast motion, you can pay for the blast motion ball flight. And we all know those are kind of a sham, unfortunately. Yeah, just the only thing I worry about is it's great feedback. Just sometimes they're not super accurate with batted balls. And that's the only thing. But I think it's a great option if you're just trying to gauge where you're at or just want that feedback while you're in the cage and not mindlessly swinging.
Yeah. I like that. Now moving into, we have already done their counterpart, but the Diamond Kinetic sensor that goes on the end of the bat. I've used this only one time, and this was about 3 years ago, I think. So, you know, Diamond Kinetics, if you guys have changed your stuff since then, you know, sorry, Blast Motion, you know, kind of my ride or die. But honestly, I got a lot of misreads where it wasn't as consistent. And then also the interface for using it, I was really like confused. Once I got it going and it was in this setting of like tracking stuff, it was fine. But it was a matter of like getting to it and figuring out the different accounts and stuff like that. So honestly, for me, I'm going to put Diamond Kinetic Bat Sensor in the D category. Just a reminder, it goes S, A, B, C, D, E, F. So this one I'm going to put in the D category for myself. Still, you know, if it's the only thing that you have access to versus a blast motion or something, like, use it. Hopefully you're smarter than I am to figure it out. But personally, it wasn't super easy for me. I wasn't a big fan of it. JP, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm kind of like you. I haven't used it a ton, but I used it enough to kind of get a feel for things. I would put it C tier, pretty average when it comes to technology stuff. I think where Diamond Kinetics struggles is like you said, the usability is not as easy. And I think the metrics and like how they measure the metrics, how they've come up with it, is a little back and forth. It's not as intuitive when you start digging into how they measure things. So I think I'd probably put it in the C tier. What do you got, Brendan?
I have zero experience with it. So I honestly don't know where to put it. From what I've seen, if that's all you got, I think it's a great option. So I guess I'll throw it in to D. I don't know. I think I'm with Connor that I've used Blast way too much now to ever go to anything else. Yeah. And I also have
I think that's fair. I think like you said, it's better than having nothing. Wouldn't put it above, most other stuff.
Shout out to Blast. We love Blast.
Yeah, sorry.
Now, right there, staying within the same company, I'm not sure if you guys are actually, that is going to be more on the pitching side, so we won't even play with that. Next one's going to be Win Reality. Win Reality for me, I'm going to put into the, I'm falling between the A and B tier, but honestly, I'm going to put it in the, let's go B tier, for me, for Win Reality. Now, the big piece of why is just you have to buy a separate unit to be able to use it, and that unit is $300. Then you have to then buy your own Win Reality subscription on top of that. When it comes to a facility, I believe the coach's account is $300 a year. So you buy a $300 unit, then it's also $300 on top of that. Then you then have to get the Diamond Kinetics sensor and attachments to then be able to use it while you swing to get that information. And now we're using Diamond Kinetics, which we just talked about is not necessarily the easiest thing in the world to use. So for me, Win Reality, it's nice if you have it. I actually went and got an Oculus to then use Win Reality. Used it like 5 or 6 times and was just like, this is too much. Like, it's nice if you're a solo player and you don't have the ability to actually go hit or something like that. But outside of that, it's more of like a toy, in my opinion, like a great training piece, but like it's connected to the Oculus. I don't know. For me, it's a B tier. What do you think there, JP?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I kind of got a hot take on the Win Reality system. I've tried it. I've played with it. I think it's a really cool idea. And I think as virtual reality and like augmented reality continues to get better, it's going to be a product that moves up the list pretty quickly. But for right now, I'm going to put it in the D tier. And a large reason for that is because I haven't found a ton of research or anything that ties that kind of visual training back to performance. And I think that there's a lot of other options that do a better job increasing performance other than that. But like you said, if you live in northern Montana and it snows 10 months out of the year and that's what you got, I mean, get your at-bats in. But I think there's a lot of other things you can do as an athlete to increase your performance rather than doing the virtual reality thing.
Nice. Braden?
Yeah, I've only used it twice. To start off, I would throw it in the D tier. The first time I used it was in 2018. Coach we knew who was in the Indians organization, now no longer with them, he's with the Giants, taking us a tour during their AZL league was still going on, and they had like one of the first versions of it. And I actually faced Trevor Bauer in it when he was still with the Indians, and they loaded up his pitch effects. Now, I will say it was awesome, right? They had a really good version of it. And then like 2 years later, local facility, our high school team went in, they had it, and it was not the same. And I just struggled to see like why it was so beneficial for me. So I feel like it could be a tool in the toolbox. Do I think it's the best tool? No. Like, I would rather see 95 off a machine than a virtual reality where I can't even see the spin on the ball. You know, that's just me.
I now that you say that, I will put a caveat on it, I guess, and maybe this moves it up. But like, if you're Vanderbilt and you're gonna go play Michigan in the World Series, and like they got a dude that throws a nasty sweeper, and like you want to kind of see what the movement of the sweeper looks like before you get out on the field, or like before you crank up the machine to those settings, I think that's really good. But you know, that's probably about it.
Great transition point. We have three different levels of, or well, four different styles, I believe. We have the junior hack, we have the regular hack, and then we have the iPitch spin ball. So we're gonna be looking at those three different pitching machines. First one that we'll start off with, junior hack. The junior hack for me, I'm gonna throw into the S tier. I think it is a godly machine. It's cheap. You can recreate almost any type of pitch speed with it. Just bring it closer. Now, obviously, I understand that, you know, when you're looking at the reaction time, it doesn't equal the amount of travel time, and that it's not the exact same as a regular pitcher and stuff like that. But like, if you have like close to $2,000 that you're able to spend something on, for me as an instructor, I don't have to throw BP or pitch every single day. Like, I'm not going to be able to recreate 80 miles an hour, like for 40 pitches per hour, six times in a day. I physically cannot do that, but my machine can. And so for me, I personally think the junior hack, for me, it's just S tier. It's just godly. What do you think, GP?
Yeah, I'll put it in the A tier. We use the junior hack every day, all day. Like you said, it's so good for short machine work. You can tinker with the dials and make exactly the pitch you want. And it's just easy to use, super portable. The warranty is great. Customer support's really good. It's tough not to love the junior hack. Great for ground balls too. I mean, like, it's an unlock, really.
Brandon, what you got?
Yeah, I think I'm gonna have to throw it into S tier. It's pretty affordable for a lot of programs and a lot of people. You can recreate pretty game like stuff with it. You and I have hit off it a lot together. And we use it a lot with the guys we train. And I just think we see too good of results to be like, eh. You know, I think it's awesome. I like hitting off of it. So
I love it. Now moving in, same family. And it, for anyone else out there, if you have the three-wheel A-Tech or if you have the three-wheel spin ball, we're going to throw it in with the regular hack attack. We're going to throw it in with the regular hack attack. Personally, I think the hack attack reigns all over all the other ones. When you're looking at kind of this price point, it's going to be right around like, I think it's like $5,000, where the junior hack is right around $2,500. So for the next tier, I'm personally going to put the regular hack attack. I'm going to put it in the B tier. For me, it is little bit bigger, so it's not as easy to the portability is not there. It doesn't, like, it just does a little bit more than what the junior hack does. So like for me, like if you had to get two junior hacks or one regular hack, I would honestly look to get two junior hacks for the price of the one. Now we're running two-headed monster. They also have the extended legs that you could get. So if you don't like how it sits a little bit lower, just get the extended legs. Make that thing stand up a little bit taller. So for me personally, I'm going to put the regular hack attack. That is going to be a B tier for me. JP, what are you thinking?
Yeah, same thing, B tier, mostly just because it's a little bit more expensive and less portable. It's still a great machine. I mean, if I was going to pick a machine, that would be my second choice.
We'll get to what I think.
We'll get to my first.
Brayden, what you got?
I'm gonna have to throw it into A tier. Yeah, okay. Sorry. brain here. Just because I hit off of it before every game at school when we were at home. We had a whole cage. Like, that was – we had it real up high. For me, like, when you're going to face San Joaquin Delta, I mean, they're – and we're one of the better teams in the state too. I mean, they're rolling out their dudes, right? So I'm like, oh, I'm probably going to see 95 today. I really enjoyed hitting off it. I thought it prepared me very well. I just – that's why I put it up there. But the downside of it is I have dealt with it just in a team setting. It is incredibly cumbersome. It's a pain to set up. It's not real portable. And on top of that, it is a lot of money.
Oh, yeah. And I'll give another shout out to it. We had one at Garden City when I was there and was, you know, the regular slumps and stuff like that. So I started going in and the bottom wheel had like a short circuit on it. So about every like second to sixth pitch, you didn't know which pitch it was going to be, but every second to sixth pitch would just throw the nastiest changeup that you have ever seen in your life. And it's just going from like 90, 95, boom, 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 70 without even a thought changing or anything. And then just picks right back up 90, 95, just, you know, cruising. So I like the hack attacks too, man. Big fan of it. And it would be even better if it could just do all of this automatically, where it would just, you could preload pitches, blah, blah, blah. Now I haven't had the pleasure of using too many of these, but the guy above me has. JP, do you mind talking a little bit about the iPitch?
Yeah. I mean, it's a pricey, very pricey machine. But I think it's one of these cases where you just get what you pay for. It's everything you could want in a pitching machine, as far as just like computer's going to do all the work for you, dial in then the wheel speeds. You can set pitches. It will throw randomized sequences. You can set sequences. You can dial in spin rates. You can change the spin axis. Like, you can do what guys are doing in pitch designs off of the pitching machine. And it's, you know, it's not perfect, but it's going to get you as close as any other machine out there. And just the ability to do like, hey, we're doing live at bats today. Or like we recorded some stuff like facing, you know, this is what, you know, Eric Sim kind of uses the eye pitch to just kind of like, okay, here's Max Scherzer's like pitch sequence. It's like, there's no other pitching machine in the world that's going to do that. So I'm going to put it in the A tier. I struggle to say that because I'm kind of in between A and B because it is so damn expensive. But, you know, part of my job at Driveline is fixing the machines, and I've fixed those machines more times than I care to mention. And the support's really good. They're awesome to work with. They'll kind of sit down and troubleshoot. I mean, I've been on the phone with them for 40 minutes, just pulling wires and like trying to figure out what the hell was wrong. So, they're super awesome with that. For me, it's one of those things that you use once and you're like, I don't know how I'm going to go back to using anything else. Yeah.
So we got A tier for you.
A tier for me. Yeah.
Now, Braden, just from, I don't know, have you ever had the pleasure of using it?
I have not, but I've seen way too much video of it to not be like, I want this. I'm going to have to throw it in B tier only because I know that I'll probably never be able to afford one. And yeah, because I really want one.
Yeah.
I'm going to put it in with the A tier as well, with JP. Just from what it can do, it honestly was a major decision I was trying to figure out. Do I buy a junior hack attack or do I look to possibly get a loan for an iPitch? Like, it was one of those where it was like, I don't even want to look at anything in the middle. It's like, if I'm not gonna, you know, the junior hack I like a lot, obviously I put in the S tier, but it was like, do I go to a bank wearing a suit and get a loan for this thing? Like, it might be that crucial. And just to, you know, we're going to get to this other piece of technology here in a bit, but just to be able to walk over to the pitching side here at Fast, talk to Cole Thomas, Jason Hirsch, and and like, hey, like, you know, who's your top junior you got that, you know, what's their spin rate on their fastball? What's their spin rate on the slider? Like, let me recreate the best pitchers that we are creating so that way my hitters can start getting used to facing those guys. And for me, that's massive. And it's one of those where, like, you know, the only reason it wouldn't be an S tier is because of the price point. But I still see how crucial it could be to having one. So I'm going to put it in the A tier as well. Boom. Now, to wrap up and finish up our pitching machines, we're going to talk about the Pro Batter. It is the one that has the projection screen with the pitching machine attached to it. Now, personally, I've hit off of one of these a few different times. I don't necessarily know what pitching machine they have attached to it, so I don't know necessarily what all capabilities it has. Just for me looking at it from a facility or literally anything except for having my own personal cage and wanting to put it in there, I personally would put it with the C tier. Just for the fact of it is bulky, it is expensive, it is a lot of maintenance, and like I've also seen it where it's not directly tied up to the projector. So you got like a pitcher coming through and it shows everything they throw and then it'll shoot out. And it's like, all right, well, like that's for me not ideal. That's almost eliminating the entire purpose of having the whole projector screen and stuff like that. Like I said, it's expensive, it's bulky. So personally, I'm going to throw it in the C tier. Now, if we had one, would I complain? No. So I think it's, you know, average at best for me personally. JP, what do you got?
Yeah, I mean, I'll probably put it C tier as well for most of the reasons you said. I mean, it's just, it's bulky and it's not going to be able to move. There's just not as many options to do with it. It's a really cool idea. I know there's some companies that are kind of building off of similar ideas of having like a projected pitcher to have some pitching motion, and those the ones I've seen, they do a much better job of like recreating the ball flight and adjusting that. So something like that would intrigue me a little bit more, but just kind of having the Iron Mike arm and, you know, whatever machine's attached to it just to have a video overlay doesn't really seem like it's a ton of advantage. It's for as much as you're going to invest into maintenance and space.
Brayden, what you got?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'd have to throw it into C just for the reasons you guys mentioned. Now, the only one I have ever seen is at a local facility here. Connor and I won't mention it.
Nope.
Just because, yeah, they got one for free, and it's still not set up because they don't know, like, there's too much going on with it. And I will, the machine on it is a Hack Attack type style. On like a big cart, it's like bolted down onto a cart. And then there's like a tube with like a ball feeder. And then you got to time all that up with the projection. I think JP agree. Like it's a great idea. It just, how much money do you want to put into it? And how much man hours do you want to put into it? Because it looks like a beast.
I'm pretty sure price point wise, it's right there with the iPitch, if I recall.
Yeah.
I think it's close to 10, 12.
Yeah.
And that's right. I'll sacrifice the arm action for a little bit extra
adjustability. Oh, yeah. No, that's tough right there. Getting into a little bit more of the fun stuff, let's go through hit tracks. Hit tracks for me is going to be something that is massive. I'm personally going to look to put it into the S tier. I love hit tracks. I love the, one, I have the camera attached to it. So being able to have a camera that then logs every single metric of that swing plus the video portion. I love that. I love the ability that I can have an 8-year-old and a college dude hitting in the same group. And just by switching their profiles, it will automatically switch the field that they use. for younger guys, we do home run derbies. They can hit on any of their favorite MLB stadiums. I can change the animations. There's a catching part to it. I personally just, I love hit tracks. Obviously, there are some things like back in the day, they used to have a connection to Diamond Kinetics where you could have your swing also tied into the hit tracks. They don't do that anymore. Unfortunate hit tracks. Let's, I don't know, talk to Blast Motion, get something figured out. That'd be pretty cool. But outside of that, it's also price point. It's not the worst out of all of the machines, but I think it does the most out of all of the machines. And you can also do Hitrax leagues, different stuff like that. Personally, Hitrax for me, that's just S tier. I love Hitrax. JP, what you got?
Yeah, I'll put it in the A tier just for the price point. But I mean, all those things you said, it's the best ball flight monitor out there. The game module is great. Like being able to see the ball in the field, hit at different fields, the data that they give you on the back end's really good. Like you said, the camera stuff's really cool. I mean, it's just, if you want like accurate batted ball feedback, I mean, it's just the best thing out there. And they have some really cool stuff coming down the pipeline. That's going to be really fun to see.
Yes, so, they do. Yes, they do. Brayden, what you got?
Yeah, I'm going to have to throw it into A and just go to JP's point, just because of the price point. It is not cheap, but I mean, this is the first time training with you, Connor. This is the first time, you know, I've consistently hit off of Hitrax, and I like the batted ball feedback is awesome. Like, I love being able to look back, be like, okay, where was that? Where was I at? Okay. And, you know, for us, when we work with young kids too, I think you and I talked about this week, just the video game aspect of it, that we see a lot of gains in kids because of that visual, you know, oh, I hit this there and I did this, and it becomes a game to them. You know, little did they know they're doing like real training.
Gotcha.
Suckers. Now to go to what, I mean, this is going to show you guys where I'm at, to Hitrax, ugly sibling, Rapsodo. I personally hate Rapsodo with a burning passion. I've tried to use it. It was the first piece of tech that I personally bought. I used Hitrax in the past at other locations. I knew how important it was to get batted ball flight. And so went out, got a Rapsodo. Customer service, not necessarily the greatest. I had a lot of issues trying to figure all that out. And then it just wouldn't read consistently. I was getting a ton of misreads. I was getting cages that weren't even directly next to me, but way over. They were picking up pitches getting thrown. I was tarping off cages, trying to hide factors. When I moved to my new place, it said it was like too bright for it to see, something like that. So I was getting misreads there. I literally had to extend my lesson times from an hour to 90 minutes because I would prepare for Rapsodo to go down at least twice in that, you know, session. And each time it would take me about 5 to 8 minutes to reboot it. And so that's almost, you know, 20, 30 minutes of a lesson. I didn't feel like it was, you know, ethical for me to be able to not extend my player's time because of the piece of technology that I acquired was pretty incompetent. So for me personally, if it's the only thing that you can get, the price point is like $2,000-$3,000. I'm going to put it in the D category, but again, like I personally just do not like Rapsodo, really anything that they're about. Now, this is different from the pitching side. Pitching side, they're pitching Rapsodo, amazing, works really well. When it comes to the hitting side, horrendous, absolutely horrible. I hate it. Rapsodo hitting D tier for me. JP, what do you got?
Yeah, we use Rapsodo hitting at Lamar, so that was our batted ball tech. And you know, similar issues. I'm gonna put it in the C tier because I think it runs into the same kind of problems that honestly a pocket radar does. He's really well back up the middle, and down the lines, not so much. So I think it's one of those pieces of technology that I think drives coaches crazy because of all of the troubleshooting that comes with it. I'm going to put it middle of the road. If you're going to buy a Rap Soto, I would probably just buy another junior hack.
Brayden, you remember my foe of Rap Soto. Yeah. Where are you at with this?
I really remember that time. We're trying to do an assessment with me. I think it picked up like two balls the entire session. It was ridiculous. I think the price point is really good for a lot of, I think Connor, you and I actually talked about this. Like the price point is great on it, you know? And I think a lot of people are like, oh, hey, like this is affordable. I can get this. And I think that's great. But yeah, it's got to go into C for me, I think. They need to work some things out. I think eventually they'll get there. You know, they did it with the pitching. I think they can do it with the hitting.
Hopefully this new 3.0 unit. I haven't heard good things about it already, but hopefully this 3.0 unit, they can figure it out. I don't know.
The spin rate stuff's a really cool idea, so I hope they do. I think spin rate feedback on batted balls would be huge for training, but it's massive. Just not accurate.
But Connor, the certificate, right? You liked the hitting certification that they had?
I love the hitting certification that they had. I really did. I liked it a lot, especially like what just JP mentioned. The spin rate is not necessarily one of those things. Like I remember hearing rumors about how if you backspin a ball, it's going to add like 80 feet to your hit and, you know, backspin, swing down, that creates the backspin. And actually seeing what it does and actually, you know, I think once you get over, haven't done it in a bit, but I think it's like 2,500 RPMs. Like once you get over that, then it starts working against you rather than for you. And so just understanding like there's always a cap to something. There's always, you know, the goal of what you're shooting for. But then seeing, you know, if you barrel hook a ball, it would show that on the Rap Soto when it would actually pick up and read. So that was like really cool. I liked that a lot. It was just, again, it was a matter of one of every, you know, five swings it felt like. And for me, and honestly, that's why I want to put it in the C tier, but how like with it being a cheaper price point and how like excited I was to finally have something and then for it to not work like how it was supposed to. And then to be on the phone with customer service and essentially have them telling me that it's my fault, that it's not working. Like that to me, I was like, all right, like it'd be dope to have it if it worked. Like if it worked, in my opinion, it would be a B tier, but like, just the anticipation of it working and then the exact opposite. That's where it got a penalty.
E for disappointment.
Oh, dude. So disappointed. So disappointed. Now, I will say they did send a banner and a couple of hats.
Oh, nice.
That was cool. Hittrax, they're still on delay of getting me a banner from almost a year ago. So kudos for Rap Soto for that. Next one, TrackMan. TrackMan. For me, TrackMan was one of the other things I was looking at. I'm personally going to put it in the A tier. I think it's for a facility, you're either going to need a Hittrax or a TrackMan, in my opinion, just for the batted ball data and stuff like that. The reason it's not an S tier and the reason that I personally didn't go with a TrackMan, the game side, the gamification that Brayden mentioned earlier, TrackMan doesn't do that. It will do a game mode, but it won't essentially make you feel like you're playing in a game or, you know, you can't change the stadiums. You can't do this. And for a lot of the younger guys, you know, having that very accurate data metrics, that'd be awesome for like my college guys and, you know, pro guys in the future and stuff like that. But for pretty much juniors and below, like they're not sitting down and we're not going over all of that data like that. And so for me, you know, TrackMan is a necessity if you don't have a Hittrax, and you got to have something like that. And I personally think it's obviously way better than Rap Soto. So for me, I'm going to go TrackMan in the A category. JP, what you got?
Yeah, I'll put it in the B. You know, like you said, I think it's one of those things that's just a little bit more raw. It's not as like newbie friendly. We haven't used it very much, but just kind of looking at like the interface and things like that, it's a little bit more raw. So I think it'd be really cool if you're, you know, a college program and you're going to run reports and like that's what you're going to use it for. You might not have the kids look at it as often, but you're going to kind of run reports off of it. Now, I will say a stadium unit TrackMan is S tier for me just to have in-game batted ball fight metric. Like that's just, I don't know. If I was at a college and I had the bread to spend on a stadium unit, that would be the first thing I'd be saving for. But the kind of portable one, it's awesome. Works fine. It's just not, like you said, the gamification is just, it's an unlock. It's such a big advantage.
I will say when I went down to LSU this past summer and there was a home run derby, the Marucci World Series was held down there. And they had, during the home run derby, the TrackMan data being pulled up from their in stadium, and it was sick. It was sweet, man. It was pretty cool. Braden, what you got?
Yeah, I throw it into A just for those reasons. You know, if you have that at like a college, you know, being able to pick up, you know, pitching and hitting metrics, I think that's a game changer. And I mean, we have one down at Fast, right? And we don't really use it because, you know, we have the hit tracks and everything, but I know it's super helpful on like the pitching side. Like I see Cole using it all the time, right? And they have their guys on it all the time. I think the data might just be a little bit too raw, and it goes to the point of the gamification. You know, not every hitter, I know I don't want to see every single number that TrackMan provides for me. Like I don't find that helpful.
No, I'm right there with you. Next piece of technology that we'll discuss is the iPhone/camera capabilities. For me, this is something that is going to be an S tier, and it is something that pretty much every single player has in their pocket. Every coach has in their pocket. If you're not wanting to go out and buy cameras and set it all up and stuff like that, just take out your phone. Recording and using your phone, I mean, it does 4K. Like most everyday phones these days is 4K, if not 1080p. And that's going to be, in my opinion, one of the biggest transformations that you can have with a player is being able to show them what they're doing. The amount of times I've, you know, told a kid like, hey, do this. I am. All right, we'll do it one more time. I'll video them, show them the video. And they're like, oh, I'm not even close. Yes, I know. And that wouldn't be possible without just having my iPhone in my pocket or using the cameras. So for me, iPhone cameras is going to be S tier. JP?
It's kind of a tough one for me, I'm going to be honest. I want to put it in S tier for all the reasons you said, but I think I'm going to put it in the A tier because it's just video. and you can kind of see whatever you want. So that always makes me nervous when it's just an iPhone and not something else to kind of keep check yourself with. All the reasons you said, I mean, it's everybody has one. It's basically free, assuming you have a phone, which I assume most people do. So for that, well, I'll kind of stick it in the A, but huge tool.
Braden?
I'll throw it into S just because, I mean, I think everyone has a phone. But yeah, I think you do have to know what you're looking for, right? A lot of people may, you know, they video the swing, oh, looks great. Like you can. So I will say, great tool. Make sure you have someone there with you who knows what to look for. And I think, I mean, I was hitting you, Connor, you and I were hitting the other day, and we got hit tracks up, we got blast up, we got like five different freaking cameras, you know, and you pull out your iPhone and you're like, okay, let's video this. And you're like, oh, now I see it. And it's like, got thousands of dollars worth of technology. And all it took was for you to pull out your phone and be like, oh, okay, that makes sense.
It's one of those where it's literally the answer to everything. I've seen the, you know, argument thrown out that why do people even need to go to school anymore? They literally can just Google it on their phone. And the accessibility that people have in their pocket, I think they take it for granted. I really do. Like, and anybody listening to this, I guarantee you probably like 30% of the people are going to be like, I didn't even think to use my phone to do blank, blank, or blank. And it's like, yeah, I'm not surprised. That's not a bad thing. That's why we're here. That's why we're doing this. Next one is going to be force plates. And JP, I will allow you to kind of run with this guy to give a little intro about force plates.
Yeah. As a amateur researcher, I guess, is part of my job now. I love force plates. Force plates fire me up. They're just, we might, I think it's so much harder to tell how force is transmitted through the body. Like, once force is in the body, how does it move? But it's really easy to see force in and force out using force plates, because the ground is just going to be like how you transmit force. So I think from that reason, I love force plates. For the normal everyday guy, everyday coach, the guy that's not going to spend hours staring at data sets, looking at graphs, I will probably put it in like the E tier. I mean, it's just
for you in your life, me, now that you've had me, it, where do you
for put me it? And for me in my life, I'm going to put it in the C tier right now. Until I think the research gets a little bit better. It's really cool for me to look at and try and come up with some theories and do some research, but it's not something I'm going to use every day. It's not something that I think I go to too often to be like, oh, this is a huge understanding. For the most part, it's like, hey, I know these things are a problem. I wonder what his force plate looks like. And like, how does that compare to other guys? So for me, it's probably like a C tier. I think it's fun. It's super cool. I think down the road, it'll be an S tier type of thing, but we're just not there yet.
I feel that. I haven't had the pleasure of using force plates. I've been able to read about them. Braden mentioned somebody earlier talking about referencing them. This gentleman doesn't believe in force plates either. So with me not having the ability to use them, only seeing what they can do, and then some of the other people around me that, you know, I listen to, I'm probably going to put it, I don't even know, like, price point wise, what they're around. I mean, if I can,
you could get some cheap force plates, but if you're going to buy force plates, like, buy force plates. So, and we're just talking hitting, like, not talking weight room stuff. Weight room stuff, completely different conversation. Just talking hitting. You should probably get some nice force plates, but I don't know.
Do you know ballpark like what a cheap round of force plates
is? Probably gonna run you about what a wrap soda would cost.
Really? And those are the out of ground? Is that where I'm thinking of one specific location right now that has these force plates that are out of the ground?
Uh oh.
Are those the same ones?
Is that would be a little bit more expensive.
Oh, those are?
Those are pretty nice. Yeah. Those are going to be a little bit more. So the ones I'm thinking of are just like one flat mat. We ran some like data collection studies with it. I forget what it's called. But it's just a flat mat, USB cable, plug it in your computer. You run the program. Something like that. I'll run you $5,000-$7,000.
Hey, all righty. Me personally, I'm probably going to put it, I'll put it with a C tier, honestly. I was thinking more D tier just because I haven't used it before. And if I was to get in front of a force plate, it would be more of a learning opportunity than anything else. And to hear you, JP, say that it's not something that you would look to use every day. I guess I was going to put in the D tier, and then I looked at Rapsodo, and I was like, I can't do that to the force plates. So I'm going to put force plates in the C category. It's going to be average. I mean, for me, that'd be something. That'd be a really cool addition for me to play around with at the current moment. But price point wise, with where it's at, the information I feel like I can gather a lot more information from other stuff that I could then digest and give to my hitters rather than the force plates at the current moment. So for me, I'm going to go just like you, JP, C category. Mr. Braden, what do you have?
I mean, I'll throw it into D just because I really don't have any clue about them. I mean, they look cool, and I would love to learn more about them. But, you know, why buy force plates when you can just buy a piece of plastic online from a gentleman for $40? You don't need force plates. You can just buy a piece of plastic. It's fine. It's fine.
It works the same.
Yeah.
Yeah, just scissor kick. You'll be fine. You're fine.
And that's where I get caught up with the force plates. Like, it's really cool. And I think down the road, like, the better we get at researching and the more we figure out, I think it'll become more critical. But it's just not right now.
With the force plate sister or brother, I don't know, sibling, we'll stick with sibling, gender neutral. Have you guys seen the souls that have the force plate? Like, do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I originally saw them for golf, and they were being advertised for like $99. And then I saw another company advertising it for baseball, but for some weird reason, they were advertising it for $150, yet they were the same brand, just advertised to baseball instead of golf. So I don't know if there's like a major difference with those two products. I personally am really interested and have been for a while and looking to get some. The only thing that's been stopping me, one, is that it's $100 per size. You have to get different sizes for guys, and so then I don't know what the translation would be if you've got to do that where it's a size 11 and you're putting them in with a sensor of a size 10. How much is that going to alter from if he had the correct size? And yeah, I haven't wanted to dive too deep into that yet, but that is going to be definitely my next deal that I'm going to look at into getting. So for me, we'll call these the Soul Force Plates. I'm going to put them in the B category, just one for the price point. Again, it's $100 versus what we mentioned earlier, the cheap Force Plates are going to be around $3,000. So a little bit cheaper. You know, if it breaks again, it's $100, but it'll give you all that information and stuff like that. So I'm going to throw it in the B tier. JP, what are you thinking?
Yeah. I'm going to probably put it in the D tier, just because like, I don't know much about them. And B, I think standardizing that data collection process sounds like a miserable experience. So I'm going to put it in the D tier because, I don't want the headache.
Yeah. Braden.
I'll go D just cause I don't really know much about them. And, they just seem like something like, I don't know, like how necessary they are right now.
No, I feel that. I feel that most definitely. Right here, we're getting to the very bottom of our list. We've got two more things to go. This next one, JP, again, I would love for you to go over a little bit more. K-Vest.
Yeah. Okay. K-Vest is kind of, I guess how I describe it to like athletes when they talk about it is like it's a discount version of a multi-million dollar motion capture lab. It's like, that's kind of what we're talking about. Man. For me, I would probably put it like a B tier. For me, I think it's really cool. I think there's a lot of good information you can get out of it. I think what holds me back from putting it any higher and maybe slipping into a C tier is the price. Troubleshooting can be time consuming and frustrating. And the making sure all the sensors are in the right place and stay in the right place and everything's calibrated correctly to make sure you got a standard data set is really critical, which is also time consuming and frustrating sometimes. So I think for the ease of use in the price point, I'll put it in the B tier. But really cool piece of technology, really cool for like sequencing, rotational velocities, and kind of posture positions, I think, is the biggest thing. And it's just that kind of objective measure of stuff you could probably see on video. But it's good to have the number with it, so you can kind of actually know whether you're training or just it up as you go.
I have not had the pleasure of using K-Vest. I have had the pleasure of seeing a Sir Watson in Arizona use K-Vest. So that was a really cool experience, being able to just watch the numbers come in and stuff like that. Almost just kind of like learning as, you know, I was seeing guys take swings and asking some questions here or there. For me, that was really cool. But then, like you mentioned, price point, accessibility. And then if you got guys where you're having to go over on how to put everything on and stuff like that, and if one of them messes up, you got to pause everything because I doubt you're probably going to have two K-Vests going and stuff like that. So you got to pause everything. For me, I'm going to put it into the C tier. It's one of those to where there is another company that is coming out with some stuff, ProPitch AI. They announced, when was it? It was last year's ABCA that they were partnering with HitTrax to where they will have a hitter AI side. And that way it would actually be able to do, or, and again, this is in theory, what K-Vest essentially does, being able to separate the different parts of the body and show what percentage of them are firing and at what rate they are firing. And so for something that I already own or guys can already use to be able to use or have that those same capabilities almost as a K-Vest, I like a lot. Again, me not having a K-Vest or having the experience of using one, I would like to put it higher. I just need to get with somebody that has one. So until then, it's at a C for me. Braden, what do you got?
Just from what I just finished doing on the foundations of hitting, looking at all the K-Vest stuff, that was one of my favorite segments of it. I mean, it was awesome. I'm like, man, sign me up. I want one of those things. And I'm like, how much are they? Oh, okay. All right. I'm like, those are still really cool. So it's cool to hear your point of view, JP, because you're working with it on, you know, a regular basis with guys. I think I'll throw it into C because of the price point. But for me, it just, I thought it was awesome. The things that you could measure, you know, there's nothing, I don't feel like there's a whole lot out there that can measure what it measures. And I think that's.
Yeah, alrighty. Last one. JP, did I just cut you off right there, dude?
No, you're good. You're good. Brain going in a million places.
last final one, and then we are, from what I have written down here, done. Game Sense. So we talked a little bit about pitch tracking and pitch recognition apps. For me, Game Sense is something that I've been using for the last couple of years. They're a Denver-based company, and they're a free app that you can download if you have iOS. Android, green, text bubble, guys, sucks to suck. Sorry. Go get an iPhone. So it's only on iOS, but I absolutely love it because what I've been doing is essentially taking GameSense on the iPhone, mirroring it up to an Apple TV or, you know, whatever it is. And I've been having my guys actually looking at the TV, but having the phone in their hand. And so if it's a ball or a pitch that they would look to take, they'll go through, take their stride, and I want them visually tracking it all the way in to where their hands would be holding the phone. If we're releasing the hands every single time, I'm not going to be able to watch it all the way in. I'm going to have to stop right there. Same idea as when they swing. I don't want their hands staying back. I want us actually swinging, getting our chest and our body turned all the way. And a lot of the time when you don't have an actual ball to give you that feedback, whether you're doing that or not, can kind of become a little monotonous. And so for me, I have all of my guys, if you're taking, you're back here. If you're swinging, we're all the way out here. And it has every different level from youth all the way through college, lefty and righty, multiple difficulties for each setting as well. And again, it's free. So for me, GameSense is something that I've been using way more instead of the win reality. And I'm going to put in the S tier. It's something that it's a literal station that we use all the time. I love Game Sense. So S tier for me. JP, have you ever had the pleasure of using any Game Sense before?
I have played with it. Haven't used it a ton. Where did I put win reality? Where did I put that?
You put win reality. Let's see here. JP's the orange. D tier.
Okay. So I'll probably put this in. I'll probably put it in C tier because it's free. But I'm gonna kind of go back to my sticking point with win reality of just like I think it's a great tool. It's awesome for like how you're using it for a station and things like that. But I think from a training economy perspective, in training time, I just haven't seen enough research to back up kind of the visual training translating to on-field performance. So for that reason, I'm not going to put it any higher, but not to say that's a bad tool. It's just nobody's proven to me that it's translates as well.
You know, it's almost as if, like, Braden, do you know of a place where someone could host a study on that? I just don't.
Maybe.
I just don't know of a research and development facility that would be able to possibly do something like that and then maybe write a blog. I don't know. Like that'd be really cool if someone could do that though.
It would be cool. Maybe someday. Maybe somebody will do that.
Hey, Braden, what do you got, dude? What do you think about GameSense?
I'll throw it into B. It's definitely a tool in the toolbox, I think. Do I love it? Like, no, I'm just not a huge fan of the virtual stuff. I'd rather see out of a machine. But I think what is great is, like, you're a college player, you're on the bus, right? Instead of just screwing around on your phone, you can go on your phone and, you know, just start seeing pitches out of the hand. Now, does it translate? I don't know. We haven't done research on it yet, so we're not there. But do I think it's a great idea? I think it's a great idea. I don't know. It's fun to do sometimes, and it's just another tool.
It's not gonna make you worse. It's definitely not gonna make you worse.
No,
that'd be a brutal way to get worse, though. Imagine you just think you're grinding away. Now, crazy thought, and I actually had this back when I was playing, and I don't know. You guys are probably gonna laugh at me. I don't blame you, but I used to set up my Xbox back then it was a PlayStation and play Road of the Show. And I would set the camera angle so that way it looked like I was the one standing in the box. And I would just strike out every single time because I would just take every pitch, but I was trying to like guess what pitch it was as it was coming in. Now, I don't think it was calibrated at all for like a person not sitting down in front of it to actually be looking at it. So like, I don't think it helped at all. There's a reason I quit playing and I'm coaching now. So like, I don't think it actually had too much validity to it. But dude, I mean, I was trying to do like virtual like swings back when I was in like high school.
This is innovative is what that is. This is innovative. Using what you got. Yeah, it's innovative.
Now, I will say, have read some stuff on you guys remember Eric Thames?
Yeah.
Big play for the Brewers. When he had his resurgence, when he was over in the KBO and he was over in Korea, you know, he doesn't speak Korean. So he said he wasn't going out all the time. So he spent a lot of time in his room. He said he started pulling up just videos on the MLB YouTube channel. And he started in his living room in his apartment and just like timing up pitches, guessing pitches, and he attributes that to like a ton of his success. Now, once again, not data back, there's no research behind it, but I'm like, well, I'll be and hit a bunch of bombs. So
yeah.
Hey man, I love it. That is what we had today for the tech side. We will look to do this again moving forward with the equipment side of everything. And so I'm going to put this graphic up. I'll clean it up a little bit, make it a little bit nicer. And then we'll probably look to play around with this graphic again here in a little bit. Different style though. So I'm really looking forward to that. We'll look to do that on our next podcast. Thank you everybody for tuning in. JP, do you have anything for the people?
Follow me on Twitter again. Follow me on Twitter. I actually got a force play tweet simmering in the background right now, so that should be out in a few days. So we'll see what that looks like. So definitely follow me on Twitter. And see, you know, correct me if I'm wrong. I guess correct my spelling.
Oh, dude, you just opened up a whoop-ass right there.
Down. I'm ready for it.
Brayden, you got anything for the people?
No, guys, thanks for having me on. That was a lot of fun. I love geeking out about this stuff, you know. So, yeah, that was a good time. Thanks again.
Of course, man. You know, I started this about a year ago. Bringing on JP was one of the biggest kind of additions or adjustments that I've made within that year. And started this whole thing just because I was doing it all solo. And literally, like you said, being able to just geek out and talk about hitting and training and, you know, all that stuff, that's the whole purpose of this. And so to be able to bring on somebody like you, Brayden, massive, massive, having two different perspectives. One, like me and JP from the instructor side, with you interning and stuff like that, but then also to do it from the player side as well. I think that's something that is a very unique perspective, and to be able to have you on, I think is massive. Also for anyone, Brayden's still got 4 years. He's in his gap year right now. And so, if anybody's interested looking for a dude, I mean, I think he just showed his knowledge on the swing side of everything and understanding what that is, not just on a individual player level, but then also just a grand scheme of like what we're actually looking for within the swing. So I tweeted it out. Any hitting coach that is able to work with Brayden in the future, whatever school he goes to, they're going to be a lucky dude. So for anyone looking out there, yeah, Brayden is available, uncommitted. We have all this video and all this data over at my YouTube. So you can get any of that information from myself or Brayden. Brayden, where can some of the people find you?
On Twitter, Instagram, B_Thompson34. I post a lot of stuff. I'm going to be posting a lot of stuff here just on me, trying to get myself out there. Thanks for the plug here. Appreciate it. And not to mention, you know, 2 years at a very high level, California JUCO, playing some of the best baseball in the country. You know, you're going to want me. I'm not done yet. So I'll have to take a gap year this year or quit baseball. And sure as hell, I'm not quitting baseball. So,
hey, man, dude's been grinding. Dude's been getting after it. So, like I said, you guys follow that process of how he's doing over at his stuff. Then you'll also be able to see him on mine. Obviously, I post all of our PRs and stuff like that. So Brayden's on there quite frequently. But yeah, you guys got anything last say?
That's it.
Nope. Beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you guys for joining the Hit Chat Chit Chat podcast. We look forward to seeing you guys next week.